It's the Heatwave, I mean the Big Show, the show where we discuss, examine and chew on the week's tech news. My name's Carl Madden, sitting in for a real-life hot seat once again, while Ewan is off gallivanting around the country in the name of earning a living.
Fortunately, Carl.
This is how I speak, Sarah. I've had lots of coffee and Red Bull and stuff. It's really messing me up. Fortunately, as always, I am not alone. And joining me this week, we have Sarah Gray. How are you doing, Mrs.?
Oh my God, I've never been first before.
This is why you're first today.
That caught me out. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Not suffering quite like most of you, with the exception of Jeff. Well, mind you, Jeff might be suffering as well from the heat. It's nice and cool over here, but I'm back in the UK tomorrow and probably it's going to hit me like a wall tomorrow.
As soon as you step off that jet.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. Or boat.
I wish I could stay here a bit longer till it cools down.
Also joining us, we have Dr. Richard Harkness. How are you, sir?
Hello, I'm very well, thanks very much. Fresh back from the gym, sweaty as hell, so not looking like Dr. Sexy today.
You didn't have to share that. No one would have known. You could have said, I'm sitting here in a pinstripe suit, very professionally.
Yeah.
Also, all the way across the pond, we have Jeff Gamut. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. And, you know what? I've actually been missing not having Sarah around. So, Sarah, it's really great to see you.
Aww.
She's back. And last but not least, late time sub, Mr. Alex G. Fox. How are you, sir?
All right. What are we here for?
I don't know. It's the media show, didn't you know? It's early on.
Can I give you my getting hit by a brick wall, getting off a plane anecdote?
Go on, then.
Heat related. Not that exciting. Myself and the good lady, we were in Boston, and it was sort of October or something. I think it was October, and it was blooming freezing, and we got really, really bored, which tends to happen to us. So, you know, we got the full kit on, freezing cold Boston. So we went to a travel agent, and the only place they had at short notice was a trip to Jamaica. So we went to Jamaica, of course, but we had our Boston gear with us, right? So we got there, coats, jumpers, the whole lot, got off the plane. It was about 98 degrees. And it was like being hit by a brick wall.
So that's like the opposite scene from On Cool Runnings, where they walk out the airport into snow and everything.
I tell you what, it was so unbelievably hot. And we were wearing jumpers and coats.
Oh, painful.
It was not funny. There you go. That's the only thing I've got to say. So enjoy the rest of the show.
Yes. See you, Alex. Thanks for joining us.
It's a good time being in Boston in October. That's normally when the Red Sox win the World Series.
Well, I've only been 20 times, so I've missed it every time.
Right. Anyway, we've got a review. I'm going to read out a review. Since Ewan's not here, I'm going to do it. What the hell? So in the UK store, we have Mountie 38. It's given us 5 stars and a headline of superb. Top listen, top crew, always a great listen and never miss it. Keep it up, so to speak. Thank you very much, Mountie 38.
Why did he say so to speak? That didn't fit at all.
Because it sounds a bit rude.
Ooh.
Well, you'd know all about innuendo.
Yeah, that was an album, wasn't it? Queen's last album? I can't remember.
On to the stories, on to the tech news of the week. Now, first up, let's see, poor Mr. Chris Reynolds of Pennsylvania, because for the very shortest of time, he was the most richest man on the planet. Thanks to a snafu at PayPal, he was for a very short time, $92 quadrillion better off.
Man, I'd be okay just having the interest on that.
Did they charge him the 4.6% on that?
The only thing I could think of with this is if the poor guy was overdrawn just for a little while, he might have got less interest charges on his overdraft.
$92.
Do you reckon he sent out emails saying that he was a prince from Nigeria?
Unfortunately, he got this in the state. Unfortunately, he got this in a statement, and by the time he'd logged on like to check it out, they'd taken it all back.
I'm sure you could sue for something, couldn't you?
PayPal says they're very sorry and they're going to offer to make a donation to a charity of his choice. Nice.
Probably the Heart Foundation would be a good one after that shot.
You know what would be really cool, though, don't you?
What's that?
Say he might have only had it for like a day or so or on the statement. But if the page had ended with that showing that balance before it went on to the next page, just imagine what you could do with that page in terms of getting lines of credit and stuff.
Kids and go borrow, get a mortgage on the back of it. Yeah.
Isn't $92 quadrillion all the money on the planet?
I think so.
More.
Yeah, I mean, you could go in and apply for a loan if you. I mean, but why? And they'd say, well, how much money do you have in the bank? All of it.
That's it. Get out of my bank.
I own you.
More money. Yeah.
Oh dear. Also, Instagram video now hit a couple of weeks ago thanks to Facebook updating Instagram, and someone has decided to try and upload the entire Star Wars movie in little 15-second increments.
Sad.
Apparently, they started from the back and worked their way forward. So hopefully, when they'd finish, you'd be able to watch it all the way through. Now, strangely enough, it got taken down. Who'd have thought that was going to happen? So what do we reckon? Do we reckon Instagram video is going to be a viable alternative to releasing films on Netflix?
Well, look, there's a lot of films I've seen on Netflix where 15 seconds is probably all you need.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Oh, sorry. I stand back.
There's some great Steven Seagal films on there.
Yeah, but 15 seconds, if you took all the good bits.
That is a Steven Seagal film.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know. Best of Steven Seagal fits in a 15-second clip.
Would they need that much long?
Well,
you've got the intro and the outro, haven't you?
Exactly.
it would have been like kind of like a nice digital wave almost. Like, see if you could watch it fast enough to keep up just in front of them taking it down.
Is this the new piracy? Is it in the cinema when you go and see Man of Steel? Just keep hitting that 15 seconds.
It sounds like quite a good movie, doesn't it? I mean, you could have like a Tron type movie where you've got to keep ahead of the guy taking down the part of the film that you're actually in at any given time.
Yeah, it makes it interactive then.
There you go.
That makes it a lot of work.
I'll just wait for someone to set up a torrent and I'll download it all at once and watch it that way and pretend like it's being taken down while I watch it.
What else? Also in now under the – we'll file under the bleeding obvious section of the show. Mark Zuckerberg's former speechwriter, Catherine Lose, claims Facebook employees have access to users' passwords. Now, frankly, I'm shocked at this, that Mark Zuckerberg has a speechwriter.
Yeah, that's a shock, isn't it?
Okay, that's awesome.
Maybe that's why she's the
most Sorry.
I was going to say, maybe that's why she's the ex speechwriter.
She's probably the most underemployed person at Facebook.
Well, she's not at Facebook anymore. Apparently, she left under a bit of a storm. So they reckon it's her just like trying to get her own back.
Well, if she went to Apple, she could have left under an iCloud.
Oh, boom, boom, boom. I haven't got my soundboard set up. Damn.
There was a term that they used in this article which had me laughing. They referred to her as something like a renegade employee or something. what did you call her?
Speechwriter gone rogue.
Rogue, that's it. Yeah,
rogue. Rogue employee.
She's gone dark.
That doesn't exactly give her a good lot of credibility in terms of being believed, does it?
No.
I can imagine a person that writes the stuff on the prompt being quite good fun if you want to go rogue.
Oh, that would be brilliantly awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really good. But I suppose whatever she says has probably been through a few hands before it gets to that point.
They obviously didn't get on because Facebook's former PR chief, Brandy Barker, wrote her a tweet. And it said, no, it's a tweet, not a Facebook message.
Well, that's kind of telling right there, don't you think?
There's a special place in hell for you. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's only if she comes back to Facebook.
Exactly. Oh, yes.
Ching!
Oh, Alex.
Oh, I don't know. I've nearly had three.
He's in form, isn't he?
That's it. So, on to the real story, shall we say. So, driverless cars to be tested on UK roads by the end of 2013. This has got to be by the government because it's part of their plan, their blueprint, to reduce congestion. Now,
congestion by just not having cars on the road?
Yeah, but we like
But putting
cars.
More cars on that don't even have people in them?
Yeah, that's the point, isn't it?
What the hell?
Obvious?
I thought car sharing would reduce it rather than having empty ones going around doing nothing.
Have you seen the sort of people get into your car when you car share?
Well, I don't let anyone in mine.
Because no one wants to. But anyway, no, I'm looking forward to driverless cars. I can just, for example, especially in traffic jams and when you're on the motorway. Because there's no two practices so dull.
Yeah, but when you're sitting in a traffic jam on the motorway, as I was earlier today, most of the cars are actually driverless because everyone's on their phone, playing with the radio, doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing anyway.
So this is nothing new.
Yeah, it's just nothing new. It's just that possibly they might go slightly faster when they're on their phone, on the radio, and not doing the things that you should be doing.
I know. When I got stuck in stationary traffic on the M25 the other day, I watched a couple episodes of The Simpsons. Because I could.
I'm not sure you're meant to mention that.
We wasn't moving. It was stationary traffic.
Oh, if you read the rules about what you're not allowed to do when the car's not moving.
As far as I understand, if the engine's on, you can still be charged.
Turn the engine off.
Yeah, if the engine's running. No, even if the key's in the ignition.
And if the key's in the ignition, yeah. Yes.
Oh, God. Yep. In that case, I wasn't doing what I just said.
Exactly.
They are.
Seriously.
Unless you're outside of school, then you seem to be able to do whatever you want on the zigzags whilst drinking a pint of beer on your phone and running over children. It seems every time I go on the school run, that seems to be exactly what everyone else is doing. But
God bless America.
Let's not bring politics into this at all. Eh?
Now, obviously, Google are the most famous for trying to do driverless cars, but also Ford, Audi and Volvo are also looking into this. So who would buy one? Who would buy a car that's autonomous and or just you can just get in it and say pub or McDonald's or Curry House? You see where I go a lot, can't you?
Well, I was going to say.
I'd imagine most people.
I'll ride with you.
I imagine most people that are going to be able to afford this probably don't go to McDonald's or.
Well, no, they say they're going to try and put it in mid-range cars.
If they could, if you could have a hybrid version where you could turn that on and off as you wish, I'd really enjoy that. I mean, there's so many journeys that I have to do that I do all the time, and it's really boring. I'd love to be able to do something else whilst it's happening.
Yeah, well, like, there are times when you really want to enjoy the drive, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So it'd be nice to have the option to turn it. Because I'm a kind of, I'm one of those people who at times really enjoys the drive. It's nice weather and windows down, you know, and enjoying the country roads and things like that. But there's other times where I kind of be bothered, you know, just ploughing down a motorway for hours on end.
I really enjoy that you said I can't be bothered. I really enjoy that, bro. That made my whole evening. There are times, in all honesty, joking aside, it would be nice to be able to stick on cruise control and it actually controlled the car.
Yeah.
Other than the speed. That would be really, really useful. I mean, there was all the anecdotes about people in various countries, we won't mention any, Australia, that had these great big wagon things with cruise control, and they actually thought it steered as well. And one guy got pulled over by the police because he was in the back of his thing making a cup of tea. Yeah.
How could he get pulled over?
They were flashing him, and he sort of got into the front of the cab. It was a dead straight road, and he just was in the back making a cup of tea, and he said, but it's on cruise control. I mean, I'm not making that up. I mean,
what does he think is a plane?
I haven't said that. He's probably still better than some of the drivers out there doing that.
What do you reckon, Jeff? Do you reckon driverless vehicles? Way to go.
Some parts of the United States, I think driverless vehicles would be pretty cool. Where I am, I'd be really worried because for me to get anywhere, I have to go on a lot of windy mountain roads. And I just don't know if I should trust a car to be able to drive itself on those roads. But like if I was in the city, that would be really cool because a car could drive. I wouldn't have to pay attention to the traffic. I could sit there and work on email or post stuff to Instagram or do whatever. And the car would just get me where I need to go. So that would be kind of cool. So buy me one.
But if you think about it, to start with, the people that are going to buy these are going to be people that can afford a gimmick. And all it's going to do is it's going to put chauffeurs out of a job. Because these people probably don't drive themselves anyway. They probably have someone doing it for them.
Tell you watch too much Downton Abbey, you have, I tell you.
I'm sorry, you happen to be the driver. I happen to be the one in the back. It's just the way it goes.
I have to say, I think
nature's way.
I think that I can hear what you're saying, and I think there's a point to it. But I think that there's a big trust factor here, and I think it's going to be a long time before, even if it becomes cost effective for the majority of people, it would be accepted. I don't think most people are willing to give that level of trust just yet.
It's interesting, though. Why do we trust a computer to fly a plane but not a car?
But that's probably because, Rich, in most cases, we as the passengers aren't even aware of that.
But yeah, also, when you're flying a plane, you've got longer to adjust. If something goes wrong and you've got a pilot sitting in the seat, if you're 30,000 feet up, you're not going to hit something instantly.
That's
whereas
a good
if
point,
you've got
yeah.
a car and something goes wrong, you're pretty buggered very, very quickly.
Mm. But, right. Plus, you also have all the other people that are driving cars without computers handling the navigation for them.
But as long as the computer does it, as long as the computer senses that thing, it's going to respond a hell of a lot faster than you can.
Yeah, but it's not going to anticipate, which is something that humans do.
Yes, that's true.
But also, if you think about it, there's lots of cars out there that do auto braking and various things anyway. So a lot of this technology is there. Yeah. But a lot of this technology is there and tried and tested, which aids the driver. So, for instance, if you're going to plow into another car and it deems that you're not responding quickly enough to its radars, it will brake. Those systems are out there anyway. So the only thing that this thing would do differently is basically do it the whole time and take over the steering. So, you know, there's lots of cars there with people sensors, not just radar sensors for when you park. I mean, they are higher end and it's all new gadgetry. But, you know, there's a lot of technology that comes out of this. This is useful to a drivered car rather than driverless.
I reckon it's going to be like Sarah says, it's going to come down to trust, and it's going to say, as the older generations move on and pass on, so to speak, younger people will be more willing to accept it. So that'll be one day. I believe we are going to have autonomous cars. We just can't stop it.
Well, they all trust Facebook with absolutely every bit of their data.
Exactly.
So they're not going to have any problem trusting a car, are they? You know, be like, whatever.
In reality, it's those people that you're saying that, you know, they get older and not drive anymore. They are the people that actually need driverless cars.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Mine will come in our lifetime. Well, your lifetime, Alex. It'll come in mine now.
It'll change. it'll change the way that the interior of the car is, you would think, as well. Because if I was on a long journey, I'd want the steering wheel out of the way. I'd want it to retract away and things like that so you could be more comfortable and, you know, your seat to recline back.
Demolition Man? Demolition Man, just the wheel folds away into the dashboard and...
Well, exactly. Maybe
that'd be great.
Maybe it's the
last
thing.
Especially if you get a long journey with your girlfriend or your wife, you've got loads of time to... Anyway, moving on.
You've got even more time to argue.
Just... And when you get pulled over, say, it wasn't me, mate, it was Google. They were speeding. I weren't. I was just sitting here.
Yeah, what if the car does malfunction and you go too fast or it starts weaving across lanes and the car gets stopped for DUI? I bet you're not driving it. Who gets a ticket?
What are you going to do? Get the car to drive down a straight line down the middle of the road while the police watch to see if it's wiggling or not?
Right.
Oh, God. Anyway, moving on. Who would have guessed that Yahoo was defending us against Prism? Or trying to, anyway. Yahoo wins a motion to declassify documents in a Prism case. The ruling will allow the internet company to publicly reveal it challenged the US government order to participate in the National Security Agency's controversial data collection program. The US Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, God, there's lots of acronyms and things in this, and ruled Monday that the Justice Department must unseal documents from a classified 2008 case that Yahoo has said will demonstrate the internet company objected strenuously to providing the government with customer data.
It's a brilliant, brilliant move.
It is. So what I think has happened over the past few weeks is people who have been following this story have lost a lot of faith in the tech companies. And the tech companies now want to turn around and say, look, it's not us. We can't help it if the government tells us what we have to do.
But it's the first one to do it. That's the point.
Yes, please let us... show people that you're making us do this.
But there's been.
I think it's a smart move.
There's a lot of there's a lot of things that have come out that some of the companies, and I won't mention any, don't seem to have objected as much as, say, us as customers would have liked them to.
Oh, I'll just come right out and say Microsoft.
Well, yeah, you can say it if you want. But, I mean, that is the point. And Yahoo have seen an opportunity to say, you know, like, no, we did. We went kicking and screaming. We did everything we possibly could. And it, PR-wise, it's a coup. I mean, it doesn't even matter what comes out now. PR-wise, everyone's going to say, well, why can't they all behave like Yahoo? Mm-hmm. And so they've won. Well done. Is that before Marissa, or is this...
Well, that would have been before Marissa, because 2008 this case went on.
So, yeah, but that also says something about how long this has actually been going on, because people haven't been talking about how, you know, people are going, oh, something I do now has been read. Well, if this has been going back to 2008...
Hmm. But we wouldn't even... If it wasn't for that Snowden guy, we wouldn't know any of this was going on, period.
Well, that Russian.
Not to the extent that we know.
No, we just suspect something like it was. We all watch Jason Bourne movies and James Bond films, and we all just think, oh, yeah, like they must be monitoring all the phone calls and computer things. That's how they catch the bad guys. But we don't actually think they're doing it for real.
No, exactly. And I don't think we probably thought the extent of it was as deep as it is as well.
All right. So you guys have what I think is an incredibly awesome spy show. And it's called Spooks. In the United States, it's called MI5 because there's other connotations to go with using the word spooks in the United States.
It does here as well. I'm not sure how we get away with it.
Oh, well, okay, it's weird. Yeah. But okay, so that show, I mean, they're always using the cameras that are all over London and they're doing all of this incredible high-tech espionage. How much of that do you think they really are able to do?
Able? A lot of it. Whether they do, see, I mean, I've got into this argument a lot, but the fact that a lot of these things are, they are recorded, they are so-called monitored, the information is there if you want to go back and pile through trillions and trillions of gigabytes of data. But every word you say, even if it's being recorded, it's not being accessed. There's nothing to do with it. To me, it's something that you go back to. It's you find the naughty guy that's done something really terrible with a, you know, I don't even want to use words in case they're recording this, but you find someone that's done something wrong and then you can go back.
As long as I am.
Exactly. You can go back and then look at any evidence that might substantiate what it is you're looking at. I don't think, you know, if you use the word bomb, you know, I've said it right. I don't think if you use the word bomb, you know, flags and bells and whistles go off in some room because people are constantly monitoring it. I think it's something you go back as in there's a recorded, you know, there's recording from number or email or whatever it happens to be. Then you can go back and look for evidence. I don't think it's something that's happening to the general public the whole time, even if it's recorded. Need as many people monitoring it as are actually speaking, you know. Yeah. That's
I think you'd need more people for monitoring than are speaking.
Yeah.
The other thing I don't get as well is I would have thought if, you know, if you were a naughty person planning something very naughty, then
that's how they read it out in court, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. This very naughty man is brought to you today. Yeah. But
oh my God, I want to come out to the UK and just sit in on court hearings so I can hear them say, and this, Your Honor, is the very naughty man.
It's not really called a dog. It's called the high naughty step.
Yeah.
The high naughty step.
Knocked over a dustbin in Shaftesbury. Yeah.
And that's not a euphemism.
Yeah. So anyway, what my point was, you say it about, you know, the word, you know, bomb or what have you. You would think that these guys would use, you know, I'm bringing the smarties over later, or, you know, they would have code words or something which would have a completely benign meaning, wouldn't they?
Richard, don't give them ideas.
In all honesty, I mean, going back to, you know, they got Bin Laden recently. I mean, the reason they actually got him is the absolute stupidity of the person that led them to him. So it wasn't like, I mean, it was just, I mean, you're right. They do use various, I'm sure they use the word smarties. I can't think of a better word myself. But there's always some idiot in there that's, oh, forget smarties. Oh, it's a thermonuclear blast. You know, there's always somebody that lets the score the side down. Yeah. And, most crimes are detected because there's some absolute moron involved.
Or somebody simply makes a mistake.
Yeah, by employing the moron. I mean, no, so back to the great train robbers. The only reason they got caught is because there was people in there that didn't have the IQ as much as, you know, as high as the number on the train. It was ridiculous. It was. That's why people get caught.
They're not super villain. They're just basically people, and people make mistakes. Thank God, because if they're planning to destroy democracy and all this other stuff, I'm glad they do make mistakes.
No, Prism's doing that on its own.
So you've been really quiet, not on for the last few weeks. How have you been reacting to all this disclosure?
I don't buy into this conspiracy theory thing, and you know. So what if they're recording things? My view is, I've got nothing to hide, so I don't really care. Too many other things to worry about, and you know, I don't get upset by that. You know, oh, it's infringing our civil liberties. Well, you know, to be honest, I've got nothing to hide, so I don't care.
Today,
I don't have anything to hide, but I do care. I really don't want people. I mean, it's like I don't have anything to hide in my underpants drawer. But I don't want people coming into my bedroom and looking in my underpants drawer.
Yeah, but it's not like it's going to be the whole world that's looking at it. It's a case of it's not making it public. What it's doing is actually meaning that stuff is there. If they need to look at it from a point of view of national security.
I still have a big problem with it.
But also, we're not actually sure it is national. That's the thing. There's so many analysts. Like that Snowden was an analyst. He wasn't, you know, part of the secret CIA or anything like that. He was just a guy, contractor employed to work there.
No, you've got to remember, it's like a lot of medical analysis you do. Your dear doctor can explain this further. But a lot of that stuff is done with, there's no name, it's a number, it's a file number, it's a case number, it's not an actual person. So if you've got some really embarrassing disease and you don't want the whole world to know, well, other than the actual doctor that took the examination in the first place, most people won't ever know. It will be a case of something, some dodgy disease by case number XYZ and patient number 123. You're not actually a person in this case until it gets to a point where they have to revert back to finding out what case number and what person that relates to. So yeah. I wouldn't worry too much about it as an individual thing. It's a fact sheet with numbers on it. Snowden wouldn't have known who he was looking at or what he was looking at. He looked up some facts.
Not the person.
Okay. Right, moving on to the next story then.
All right, sorry.
UK Border Police can seize and download your phone's data for no reason at all. Police in the UK have the power to seize mobile devices from any traveller entering the country and can retain their personal data for as long as they see fit. Very tenuous tech story, but I think it's mobile phones and scanning software involved.
This is hardly new. I remember the story a couple of years ago.
Well, it is the Telegraph.
Rubbish, Carl. You're rubbish.
So my plan is that when I fly over to the UK, I'm going to get a throwaway phone, load it up with pictures of poop and goatsy, so that when the government says, "Well, we need all the content on your phone," oh please take it.
See what you're missing a trick here. One of my wife's friends was really upset recently because her iPhone packed up. And, you know, she hadn't backed it up and various things were lost. It was really sad. What this is actually a service. You're missing the point. What you do, you fly to another country and you no longer need to back up your contacts.
I've got a full off-site backup.
Exactly. And it'll go back into the Prism network, so you'll be able to get it anytime you want.
Yeah.
And the great thing is I don't even have to call anyone. I can just be on the phone or on a Skype call and say, "Hey, NSA, I need my files from last week, please."
Exactly. And you know and that I'm expecting, dodgy picture.
Yeah, I'm expecting like at about 15 minutes, there's going to be some guys in a black suit that show up and they're going to hand me a little flash drive and say, "Have a nice day, Mr. Gamut."
See, every cloud you've got to remember. Yeah. Every iCloud has a silver line.
How much would you pay for that service? I'm missing the trick, as you say.
Your freedom.
And well, yes. Go on, Sarah, was she going to add something then?
What was that, sorry?
Was she going to add something, Sarah?
Sorry.
No, I was just listening to what you guys were saying.
Quietly.
I mean, the Snowden thing, yeah, okay. I think the Americans are a bit OTT with it. And, you know, he's been a bit silly, but it's just, you know, come on. This is... There's more important things to think about than this. Maybe, you know, I just don't get all the people that waste time and energy on
possible conspiracy theories
and why they care about the government seeing, you know, listening to my phone calls and reading my emails. Hey, so what?
I hear a lot of people say what you're saying, Sarah, so I can understand. I can understand your point of view.
I just don't think it's worth the energy. If they were going to then take that and make it public, yes, I'd be very upset. And I would, no, absolutely, saber rattle, you know, no, they mustn't do it, it's not good, blah, blah, blah. But they're not. So I don't care.
Moving on. So we have the suspected new Google phone, the Motorola Moto X, apparently revealed in a video that was leaked. Now, I'm going to play a quick little clip from that video. Just describing the voice setting. So here we go. Let me just press play.
Your Moto X is ready to listen and respond. Talk to it and it learns your voice. With the power of Google Now, it tells you what you need to know, even when you're not touching the screen. Okay, Google Now, what's the forecast for today?
I totally have my groove thing on.
The forecast for Toronto is 25 degrees with a thunderstorm.
To use your Moto X, you only need your voice. Without touching it at all, you can get directions, set an alarm, or do nearly anything just by talking.
There we go. So that's supposedly the video leaked by, or somehow got out there from the Rogers company in Canada.
Ooh.
Sarah, you're the Android person. Does this excite you, this phone?
Well, the only thing that... when you first mentioned it, and I hadn't really, must admit, I hadn't really been paying too much attention to this, but my first thought was, finally, Google are actually going to do something with Motorola. They spent all this money on them. And so finally, we're going to start to see, you know, what they're actually doing instead of using a third party to produce a phone. But, you know, it's just another Android phone, as far as I know, unless it's going to be something pretty radical, which I don't think it will be.
Is this going to be part of the Nexus range?
That's interesting.
That's about as close as it comes. It looks to me going by the name. But
Nexus phones like that's a Google brand?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I've got two. I've got the Nexus S, which was one of the first Google Google out of the box phones, and obviously the Nexus 10.
So it makes sense to me that if Google's going to make another Nexus phone, why not go to Motorola Mobility? They own the company.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of time before they did it. And then, you know, hey, I see that it's good to see that they're actually finally doing it. It'll be interesting to see if it does give them the ability to do more radical things.
Well, the most radical thing about it seems to be it's all voice command. I mean, because you couldn't see the video because it was just literally her talking to her phone and it activating and being very heavy on Google Now, which I think is one of the best things Google's ever come up with. The fact it's limited on the iPhone really annoys me. will it be enough to make me turn my head away from my phone? I'll have to wait and see. But
and how clear was her voice?
Well, her voice was, and apparently the phone learns your voice as well. So you won't get people come up to you and say Google phone or whatever it's called, Motorola, and trying to impersonate you and it activating.
Okay.
But it does, and the fact that they had to pull the video off the YouTube site does give it some credibility, I think.
There's some stuff in here that just seems like technology or gadgetry for the sake of it to me. I mean,
is this the flick of the wrist?
Well, that's pointless. And the other thing that I think is pointless is this. You know, you can say, "Okay, Google Now," and that starts up your phone. But it's quicker just to press a button.
Well, yes, but
it's maybe not as cool, but it's quicker. And I think that's one of these things where it's just like, "Oh, can we come up with something interesting?" You know, I'm not sure. Is there?
It might just be first base, Rich, that they're getting to, and this is you know, a bit like they are with Google Glass, you know, with what they're doing with that. It's a concept, and Motorola's still going to have a long way to catch up with the likes of Samsung and HTC, and certainly with Apple. So maybe it's a starting point.
But in day-to-day use, you're going to look a total twit. You know, if you walk around town and say, okay, Google now, call mum, you know.
I remember a time when people said walking around a phone down a high street, you'd look a total tit.
Yeah, but you do anyway.
Yeah, but there's a difference.
Sorry, Alex?
I said you do anyway.
I can't hear what
I can't hear you.
Yeah, no, you remember when you know, when all the yuppies were having the brick phones and they were saying...
Sell.
Exactly. So we get used to it. It's just something new that comes along and we get used to it.
Carly did look like total tits, let's face it.
Oh, okay, sure. But now,
I don't know about anybody else, but maybe I'm being an old fogey here, but the voice activation to me is particularly useful when I'm in the car.
Yes,
yeah, I'm not going to use it walking down the street. As you say, I look like a total idiot.
Are you back, Alex?
I don't know, am I?
Oh, yes, back off on the mic a bit.
No, I don't know what happened there. Yeah, I've been shouting at you for the last 5 minutes, and no one's been listening to me.
I've grown accustomed to ignoring you when you shout.
But don't worry, the NSA has all of that. They'll play it back for us later.
That's what I was hoping for. No, but you've got to remember with, say, what Google have got left with Motorola. Two things. There's no point in making another Nexus, because why bother buying Motorola in the first place? You know, this is hopefully this will be another thing that Google can make, which most of the problems people have with Android isn't the Android. It's the rubbish that all the various manufacturers and whatever chuck on top. And people want to rip all that off and go back to, you know, naked Android.
Just like PCs.
Yeah, exactly. And so this hopefully would be like that. And, you know, the thing Richard was saying about these weird gestures, there can't be many gestures left that Apple don't own. So, you know, it's a case of, case in point. But there must be something that's like, hold on a minute. What bodily movement or what thing can we possibly do activate this phone that we're not going to have to pay a license for or be sued for in the future? It has, I mean, in a funny way, the whole thing that's happened with all these patents or whatever way we're meant to say it these days, it's almost like this is the first throw that makes me think, here we go, this is the point where we as customers are starting to lose out. Things are getting ridiculous just because they're the only things left.
Well, sometimes giving
us... I would agree with that. I think successively over the last certainly year, 2 years, you kind of feel like they're just grasping at technological straws rather than these things being genuinely useful and functional.
You used the word technological straws. Have you patented that? Because if you don't, someone else will have it.
Filed for it.
The thing is, though, if you look at it from Google's point of view, given that they own Motorola, as I say, it could just be... I accept the fact that from a user's point of view, they're going to think, well, what's the point? You know, it's just like another phone. But it could just be that they just want to get to first base with it.
You know, I'm sorry, I've just got to stop. This is one of those points where it is a shame we're not doing video.
Yeah, because
Sarah's invisible.
Sarah walked out of her chair about 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, but I'm still talking.
Oh, there you go. We were like watching an empty space that was talking to us. It was like an Invisible Woman movie. It was really quite
exciting. I've got a long lead on my headphones.
It looked like you've gone back to London again. It was that far.
Like the idea that you stopped reflecting light.
I'm looking forward to this. Because I think they are going to... Any new manufacturer comes to the market now, they have to bring something new. And I think... Because it's going to be Google built with Google software on, just like Apple does, I think they're going to be able to do something special that they can't do with any other manufacturer for whatever reason.
No, I agree, but the point that that does worry me in all seriousness is all these, everything we're doing with these phones and all this other technology, which is hands-free, which is touch-free and all the rest of it. First of all, it doesn't matter how good the technology is, it's never going to work in anywhere that's vaguely noisy. You know, you're not going to be able to be, you know, walking down the street necessarily and use it. But also, I'm finding myself getting slightly annoyed with people. I was walking down the street today. Fair enough, it is hot and it is.
That's unusual for you, Alex. I'll tell you,
Mr. Congeniality.
Yes.
But no, the point is, it used to be in the old days where people had a phone and, you know, they put it to the area. Now you hear people walking down the phone on speaker. You're like, no, I don't want to hear it. Just put it to your ear, you lazy good for nothing, right? But now you've got people actually talking to their phones. And I was standing at the station the other day, and there's someone shouting at his phone, It was Siri, and he's shouting at this phone about directions. And, you know, we're all standing there going, oh, will you shut up? Obviously, he's not going to listen to you. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Can you not do what everyone else in the world does and just type in Marble Arch? Do we all have to hear you shout? No, I want Marble Arch. You stupid beep, 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 beep. I'm Arch. No, just type.
Oh, dear.
It's not many letters. Okay, you've got hands, right? Type in Marble Arch and it will take you there. We don't have to suffer it. And so much of this technology, oh, you can talk to your phone. Well, good.
That's not a tech issue. That's an idiot issue, though, that one. Just
no, but it is. All this tech, I mean, a phone used to be personal tech.
Yes.
It used to be called a personal computer. And in a funny way, the smaller it's getting, the less personal the bloody thing is anymore.
Because we're having to share it with everybody else. Yeah.
So we're sharing it with everybody. There's nothing personal on anyone's phone anymore because every other bugger on Facebook's already seen it.
Yeah, you're right. There are certain limitations. If we have to always talk to our phones to get it to do anything, that's always going to be a problem in public.
I don't like it from the privacy. I don't want everybody else knowing what the hell I'm looking at on my phone.
And you know the weird thing? These people that are really into their phones, the only thing they don't talk to their phone about is making a bloody phone call.
I want to know what Sarah's now looking at on her phone. Now she just said that. She's got nothing to hide, apparently.
I know, I'm intrigued.
NSA, could you please...
As I said, it's about sharing stuff with the public. It's not necessarily... You know, it's like... I just think there's a difference between a government authority who may have some reason to look at what I might be saying compared with the public knowing about it. No, I don't want Joe Public knowing about every aspect of my life. But, you know, if the government, I trust them to, you know, look after that information. If they balls it up, then I'm going to get annoyed. But Alex is looking exasperated.
No, he's just trying to put his earphones back on.
Oh, okay.
We've got enough more Google news. Apparently, the new Nexus 7 has sneaked out into the public realm. Mm. Sarah, do you like the looks of this one?
I haven't seen it, but I heard about the fact that the older Nexus 7 prices were dropping, which is what preempted this thing before there was any official talk about or any leak about the new Nexus 7 coming out. But... to be honest, I'm not a great fan of the 7-inch form factor. I'm kind of toying with what I should have for a phone factor, whether I would be, because I'm at the point where I'm about to start thinking about replacing my phone. But 7 inches, nah, I'm not keen on it. It's kind of in between. I either want a proper tablet that I can read on and use for other things, or I want a phone size that I can use as a phone and, you know, when not convenient to use a tablet, like on the bus or on the train or whatever, you know, something. And probably the Note is probably the largest I would probably consider going to. The 7, I kind of think, is nothing in the middle somewhere.
Okay. Do you like going for the raw Google experience?
Yes.
Do you mind?
Yeah.
So no matter what it comes with, you like replace the ROM or?
Yeah. This is why generally I will only buy something that's a raw Google device, because I don't want all the crap that, you know, that the airtime provider or the phone company or whoever or the manufacturer actually put on it. Hence why I have a Nexus S and a Nexus 10.
Mm. Well, if I ever did go for a Google phone, I want the raw experience as well. Yeah. I don't really want all the fluff and extra nonsense they put on.
Well, you know, I mean, JPEG's enough for most people.
Very funny. I know what you're getting at, Alex.
Yeah.
That's an it's a British tech going back to bagel tech in joke.
Okay.
Last story. Apparently, 4K TVs are about to hit the UK for a mere £4,000.
You say that, but I read it as, is that all it is?
Well, there was a year ago, they were a lot more expensive than that, about four times expensive than that. And these are going to be, like, these are the Ultra HD TVs, which are desperately looking for the aspect ratio, which I can't find now at the moment. But it's not really 4K. That gives the illusion it's 4,000 lines high. It's not. It's like 200 and 2130 odd or something high. So it's only really like 2K. So 4K is more of a market employee. But apparently they do look wonderful. And I think they're going to 4K is going to be more successful than 3D TVs, I reckon, in the long run, once the price is dropped.
It can't be worse. Yeah.
I think once we start seeing some content, I think you're absolutely right, Carl. There's a Sony store not far away from where I live that have got a 4K telly in there for sale. Can't remember how much it costs now, but
gorgeous.
It looks absolutely gorgeous. Yeah,
I just realised 4K is the price as well as the definition.
Yeah,
that's the joke. Yeah, the Westfield, the Samsung store at Westfield in Stratford has got a 4K TV as well.
Okay, so what price would these have to fall down to for you guys to be interested? Alex?
To be honest, it'd only have to fall down to the price range where it's a replacement TV. I don't think 4K is enough for me to go, oh, look, I've got, well, you know my house, I've got a number of TVs knocking around, and they're all HD, whatever they are. I don't know what they're 1080p or whatever they are. I don't know what they are. And that I would only go 4K when I was replacing a telly. It wouldn't be one of those things. I mean, people went out and bought 3D, those that did, because they wanted 3D. The chances of anybody that wasn't, I don't know what the word is, a videophile. Is that the right word?
Yep.
The chances.
Cinephile.
Yeah, the chances of someone going out to buy one of these. You know, you'd have to be really, really into it. I think it's just a replacement thing. And if it's just a replacement thing, you've got to say, well, what's the top end of the super LED TVs now, which are about maybe £1,000 for a...
grand and a half, yeah.
Yeah, for, yeah, but they're a very top-end machine. But this 4K machine can't just be 4K. It's got to have all the gadgets that all the other Samsung-connected TVs have got ready. You know, just because it's 4K screen, it's not that. I'll go and buy a very high-definition computer screen and put a tuner on it.
It will have them, because that's just software stuff.
They they can't come in more than the top-end price of what's available now.
Mm. I would say my view is it's a bit like, you remember years ago, in fact, I talked about it on the show before, I bought the Palm Pre with the WebOS operating system. And that died and never got anywhere purely because of the lack of apps. That's why it never got any traction. And for me, it's all about media being available. And you know, it's fine. Okay, there might be media you can buy. But if you start thinking about, you know, downloading stuff, you're going to need a shed load of bandwidth today.
Well recovered.
Absolutely no way you could consider doing it. And for me, it's like we're nowhere near ready for that. I wouldn't even consider spending that money on it. And as Alex said, you know, I wouldn't even consider doing it anyway unless I was looking at replacing a TV.
But one of the things I would say, though, about 4K or this definition for 4K is if you're in a position, I don't know, say a company or an office or a foyer or something, even on HD TVs, reading text is still pretty horrible. We're getting used to Retina. We're definitely used to good quality computer screens when we're looking at the internet or whatever it happens to be. And a lot of these things, I don't know if you've used, YouTube, even on HD, through, an HD TV. The image is okay, but the actual writing, the actual document itself is still grainy and horrible and bitty. And we're getting used to better text on Retina displays. And one of the things that 4K will give you, it will give you all these apps that come with it, you'll actually get a better quality experience with the other stuff that isn't just the video. And that's something I would notice. I'd like to be able to... it's not called teletext anymore, but I quite like reading, say, on the TiVo machine. I like reading the stuff it tells me about the film I'm about to watch. It's got loads of information on there. But still on the TV, it's not as clear as if I was looking at something on my computer screen. And 4K will probably be a nice balance between the video and all the text that you could use that screen for as well.
Jeff, what do you reckon? Does it interest you, 4K TV?
Not at all. I have absolutely no interest in 4K TV. For the size of television you have to get before you can really start distinguishing the difference between that and the current high-definition televisions we have today. First, I don't have enough space in my place for a television that big.
It's only 65 inches.
Yeah, only 65 inches. And really, you have to get up to 80 before you can really start telling the difference.
This is true. And you have to get a distance back as well.
That's on video only, which is the point I'm trying to make. If you wanted to use it for dual use, then
that
you've
would be
got,
totally different. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got. This is why I talked about reception and things like that. I mean, I remember when the, I suppose they were 32-inch plasma screens came out, and I used to go and gawp at them in a certain shop in, it was just off Tottenham Court Road, and the cheapest one was 12,000. And the idea of 4,000 to me is like, well, if this is like the, you know, the same level as the change from cathode ray was to the early plasmas, then I think this is quite a reasonable price as it is at the moment. Not that I could afford it, but there's plenty of people that could.
Yeah, well, and people will buy it, and that price will drop even further. Finally, Richard, what do you reckon? Does this tempt you?
I would consider a 4K. I'm not at all interested in 3D, but I would consider a 4K telly if I was replacing my TV, but not at these kind of prices. If it came in under $2,000, maybe. But again, I've got the same issue as everyone else. I probably couldn't get one big enough to make it worthwhile. And the other issue is as well, probably the way 4K will come into the home, I'm guessing, will be through some sort of like disc media or something like that, because getting it down over the internet, we're not ready for that. And I'm not interested in that. I'm trying to move away from having any kind of physical media stored. I don't like it. I want to go all digital. So until we've got some sort of infrastructure that can allow us to do that, then it's probably a waste of money, really, I guess.
Of course, Netflix have said they are technically ready for 4K, so it just depends on your bandwidth into your house.
I don't think it's...
So there is that.
Yeah, we've only got to wait about 100 years for that.
Well, isn't there an H.265?
Yeah, it's just compression.
Yeah, I seem to remember. Just one more thing. You know, you've got the Xbox and the new PS3, the new one. So the whole idea that this is the center of your entire universe and you're going to do everything, you know, through it. Well, if you've got one of these screens, even if it isn't, you know, people say, I mean, the people here have said, I couldn't get one big enough to be useful. And I'm banging on about the actual text and that sort of thing. If we are moving to that point where you're going to have one big screen and it's going to be the center of your entire media universe, having something that could look at the internet and various other things and read emails a lot more comfortably and a lot more sharply wouldn't be necessarily bad if we're going to do that, you know, the Jetsons idea of we all cram around one screen in the main part of the house. So, you know, maybe there is a use, but not just because of its TV, but because of all the other things that are going to be hooked up to it.
You're not getting me on that moving walkway, though, I tell you. I've seen what happens.
Yeah, you probably fall through the bottom anyway.
Exactly. This show and all the other shows on the network is brought to you thanks to UK2.net. They really do keep us going by supplying us all the bandwidth and all the services that we use every single day. If you want to support us, you can show them some love and go and buy some of their services. You head over to our website at britishtechnetwork.com, scroll down and hit the UK2.net link. That will take you through and you'll see all the wonderful services that they have to supply. And if you want to save some extra money on their already cheap prices, then just head back to our page again and find the sponsors link. And in there, you'll find various codes for various discounts on all the services, as I said, they provide. They really do help us out by keeping us going. So if you can show your appreciation, we'd be much appreciated. Also this week, I have something else to say. Mark Carter, apparently he's a friend of the network, and he is organising a Campbell Park Summer Festival in Milton Keynes. It's a free event, and it is for all the family from years 1 to 100. So friends and family should come along and enjoy some local and national talent across many genres of music. Food, drink, friends and music. What better way to spend your weekend in the sun? For more information, just go to www.mksummerfest.co.uk. And you can find all the details there. So we get to call things. Jeff, I know you've got an early out. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay, so I'm a big fan of Moleskine products, and they have I guess it's a limited edition Moleskine books that you can get, and they're Lego. They call it the Lego notebooks for big kids. And so it's like there are other books where you can get them with lined pages or gridded pages or whatever, and in various colors, covers. But they also have like Legos with them, and you can attach Legos to them. And I'm probably driving you guys crazy.
The hell?
Oh, the NSA found us.
Who's that?
It's me. It wasn't me personally, but across the square from where we are is the fire station.
Oh,
and that is the siren that goes off to let people know that the well, anyway, never mind.
Sorry, Jeff, carry on.
That's all right. I was certain the NSA had found this. The jig is up, guys. So anyhow, they come in different sizes, and I realize that I'm probably driving you guys nuts, because in every part of the world except the United States, the plural of Lego is Lego. In the United States, it's Legos.
No.
Yeah. Really?
What's the matter with you guys?
You're wrong.
It's Lego.
See? See? And, yeah. So, sorry about that. Because I realized I was saying it American style after it had already been coming out of my mouth. So, of course, I pointed it out. And that's going to just bother you guys to know.
It is. So you've got a price for these, Jeff?
Oh, probably. Hold on. I thought I did. okay, I've seen them around, depending on the size you get, ranging in price from like $16 on up to about $35.
Gotcha. Okay. Richard. Oh, okay. Richard.
Hello.
Hello.
An app. I'm afraid it's an iOS app, and it's Day One, a nice journal keeping app. I started using this recently. There was the 5th anniversary of the App Store, and it was one of the apps that was available to download for free. I thought I'd just give it a whirl, and I've heard lots of people rave on about it, and it's really nice. I've never kept a diary before, so it's an interesting experiment to try keeping one, and it kind of stops all the days rolling into one in a way, actually. It's a nice, really nice interface to use. It's really quick and easy to make your entries. You can attach and pictures, video clips, things from social media, and so on. It's really, really, really nice, really clean, and it's also available on the Mac App Store as well. I couldn't tell you what it normally costs, but sorry about that. But yeah, it's
I
very
think
nice.
It's $10.
Cool, thanks, Jeff.
Wasn't this one of the ones that was free a little while ago?
Oh, I didn't listen, did they? They didn't listen.
Are you
on the
fifth
year of the iOS App Store? They gave away some free apps, and this was one of them. He couldn't have made it any clearer. I've got to admit, I am a bit disappointed that you didn't.
Do you know what? I'm going to edit that bit out now.
I'm a bit disappointed with your accent. You didn't go Day One.
Oh, Day One.
Exactly. That's
sorry.
Better. Now I know sorry. What you're talking about.
I was typing to Jeff, and I wasn't sorry. Alex.
Okay, two very quick things, because I really did come to this at the last moment, especially as they had to wait for me. Today, it's a photo thing. It just sort of made me a bit excited. It's probably rubbish, but Panasonic have just brought out a new bridge camera. It's called the DMC-F, I'm going to say Z, just so Jeff knows I love him, 72. But it's a bridge camera, 60 megapixels, but it's got a 60 times optical zoom with a double digital multiplier. So it actually goes, I read it and I was like, that can't be right, but it is apparently. It goes from something like, I think it was, I can't find it, I think it was 20 mil to 1,200 mil equivalent on a single bridge camera. And I don't know, yeah, it's a 1,200. I don't know if it's any good whatsoever, but anything that can do that, I don't think you really need to take much more on holiday. In fact, I don't think you need to actually go to the pyramids. You can just be about 3 miles away. You don't have to worry about the tourists. You can just zoom in. So, you know, that's another thing. So you can do your lunar shots from your bedroom and not need to get anything out. You know, just point it through the window and go for it. But
Are you becoming a recluse or something?
Yeah.
Becoming,
well, your pick the other day on the media show was Rear Window. I want to do Rear Window, but I want to do it from the guy 6 miles down the road. So that would be the easier way. And just on that subject, I mean, the media show, it's a fantastic show. And if you don't listen, you really should. But we discussed last week a first episode of a new Netflix piece called Orange is the New Black, which is a women's police drama. And I'd watched one of them and I wasn't amazingly impressed with it. I thought it was a bit gratuitous. But we discussed it, and I said I wasn't going to watch the rest. And I thought, why shouldn't I? I'm going to watch it, see what it's like. And in the last week, I've watched the entire content of it. And from what started off being a slightly dubious, you know, all the cliches, as Carl mentioned, with a lot of bleeps, all the cliches you get in women's prison dramas, it had a little bit of black comedy in it and stuff, which there's the odd bit of black comedy through it. But it turned into something rather special, I'd say. And it really is worth a watch. And the reason I mention it, there will be a lot of people that watch the first episode and think, yeah, that's okay, but I won't carry on. Carry on, because by the time you get to the end of it, you'll be doing like I'm doing, going, so when's the next series coming out?
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, I really wasn't expecting to enjoy it for loads of reasons. But I've got to admit, by the end of it, I was like, oh, no, I need to know what happens.
Can we expect a full review on Sunday on the media show?
You can expect a full review, but it's going to be very hard not to do spoilers, so I'm going to have to think very hard about it, because there's probably not many people that have watched the whole lot. What I can say is, if you've got Netflix, the first, maybe even the second episode, I think they were trying to get people interested, and the way you do that is being a bit rude and a bit silly and a bit this, that, and the other. But after they got people interested, the writing improved to a level where you're like, yeah, you start actually really caring about the characters, and then things happen. And some of the acting is absolutely brilliant. Anyway, so I just thought I'd mention it, because there's a lot of people that will pass it by. So Orange is the New Black, it's available worldwide. Get through the first two episodes. Don't watch it with your kids in the room.
Good God, no.
Just don't, right? I mean, I had it on in the kids and with the kids walking past, and I'd like dive for the mute button, and then I dive to try and get the screen to go off, because I was embarrassed. Yeah. But once you get past the nonsense, which is to get people involved, it's a very, very good show.
It's definitely one of the ones, Alex, that I can't wait for them to bring out the next Netflix user accounts for.
Yeah, Tom.
privacy ones.
Because, you know, it comes up when the kids look at what you've been watching.
Yeah.
Some kids click on them because, oh, you know, Dad watched that. What's it about?
Yeah.
We don't want to know what Dad watches.
15. You know, you're 15. I can't stop you. My little one's been told, if you watch that, you will never see Netflix again.
Sarah.
Yes, okay. I was kind of expecting to be first, actually, seeing as I was first, but hey, never mind.
I mix and match.
Oh, okay, right, okay. Just caught me out a bit. Mine is very simple. It's a speed tester, which I've actually been utilising this week. I've used a number of different of these sort of things over the years, but this is one that I keep coming back to. Can't remember how I found out about it, but it does the job. And I've been doing some tests this week because my my parents live very close by, in fact in the same building, and they've been getting broadband speed of like just ridiculously slow, and I'm getting decent, so I've kind of been using it a lot to test it. It's from thinkbroadband.com. So you go to the site, click on the orange button. The orange button on the right hand side, and it does a number of tests with IP versions 4 and 6, and does upload and download speeds as you would expect. Does the job.
Just remember that used to be a black button, but as I've already mentioned, orange is the new black.
Indeed, oh, that's right. Yes. There is already a black button there. That's probably more likely why, Alex.
Did you work out why your parents' speed was so slow?
Not yet, but I'm trying to eliminate every one thing after another before we actually get onto the broadband provider.
I mean, is it ADSL?
Yes.
Because when I had ADSL here, the real problem I had was interference on the actual wiring. So
that's what I'm suspecting. I've slowly eliminating. I'm getting sort of 14 to 16 meg, which I know is laughable, but I get about 80 at home. But over here, that's pretty good. And they're getting like 1.5.
Well, I was getting on the LUL around here, whatever it's called. I think I was getting 4. I changed the box and I changed the cabling and I got 18.
Wow.
So,
well, I've done all that and it made no difference, Alex.
No.
Stop the tech talk.
Oh, come on. This is basic. Carl, just okay. So you're talking about DMZ or Alex was earlier on?
The militarized zones.
Yeah, okay, all right, okay. So you do know stuff about tech, don't you?
I know DMZ. My pick is an IZKA. IZKA. And what it is a plug, a basic mains plug with 4 USB ports in. 2 amp, 10 watt, so you can do the fast charging on your iPads as well. And the reason I got this for £11.95 from Amazon is I was just running out of plugs to have all my iDevices plugged into. But this thing has saved my bacon by just having one plug taken up, feeding all my stuff.
You know, well, that is a really good idea. Mm. I mean, that really pained me to say it, but that is a really good idea.
Wow, someone make a note of this date and this time.
I agree, Carl. It is excellent. Yeah, I could do with one of those over here because I'm forever using them. It always annoys me that the voltage that it's dropping down, and each one's using 240 volts. And the current, if you're using several of them, whereas that's good because you actually get one lot of current going into as many, was it 4 USB ports?
4 sockets.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, in my house, the best thing about that is the kids wouldn't unplug mine to plug theirs in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's where I get a problem. I've plugged my phone in and I'm like, right, I've got to go out in a half an hour. I need it more or less charged. And I come back in, the kids are looking at me and their whatever's plugged in. And it's like, well, I needed it.
Right. So, I'll put all these links into the show notes, and I'll also put them on the Google communities when this show's posted.
Cool.
Go and find them. So that's it. That's our show. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. We'll just finish off with where we can get you. So let's go Alex first this time.
Get me Alex G. Fox on Twitter, and do give the media show a listen. We try our very best, and sometimes it's even quite good.
We are very trying. That's right. That's true. Richard.
At Rich Hartness on the Twitters and at areyougettingit.co.uk is my blog.
Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Jeff.
Oh, you can find me at macobserver.com and on Twitter, mac.net. I'm Jake Gamm at both places. You can listen to me on Context Machine via Communicators here and comic show here as well, and then I have a fun blog where I write about the crazy stuff I see happening in coffee shops. That's called freshbrewedtales.com.
I should do one about pubs.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, you definitely should.
As long as you didn't post every time you went in there, because it would just be a constant stream.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, good pub recommendations would be a good one.
Oh yes. And Sarah.
Best way is on the Twitters or on Google Plus at Sarah Jane UK.
Excellent stuff. You can get hold of me on Claw0101 on Twitter or on the Google communities. Hope you've enjoyed the show this week. Hopefully I won't be here next week because I'll be doing other things. So you'll just get a break from me. So until next time, stay safe, everyone. Ta-ra.
Cheerio.
Bye.